Welcome to this interview. I'm Megan Gibson, co-host of the Anxiety Super Conference. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Trevor Cates, author of the USA Today and Amazon best-selling book, Clean Skin from Within, and founder of thespadoctor.com. She received her medical degree from the National University of Natural Medicine and was the first woman licensed as a naturopathic doctor in the state of California. She currently lives in Park City, Utah, where she helps patients from around the world with a focus on skin and hormones. Her new book is Natural Beauty Reset, the Spa Doctor's 7-day program to harmonize hormones and restore radiance. Dr. Trevor Cates, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So let's make the connection right away for people. How are hormonal imbalances tied to anxiety? We're at an anxiety conference. Everybody's like, why are you talking to a spa doctor? So let's make the connection right away.
Right. I think a lot of times people think a lot, especially women think, oh, my hormones are only really have to worry about them if I'm trying to get pregnant or I'm going through menopause. And that's the only time we really think about our hormones. But hormones rule so many of our symptoms. And if we think about it, hormones are also not just sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. We have thyroid hormones, we have adrenal hormones, we have our insulin, we have leptin and ghrelin that help with appetite. We have melatonin that helps us with sleep. We have all of these hormones. And so when I talk about hormones, we're talking about all of them. And they have this incredible symphony. They all work together ideally. Right, and that's the key here is ideally. And they're constantly, I remember I had a question recently. It was, but Dr. Cates, can hormones really be balanced? And I'm like, you know what? It's a really good question because it is a constant state of balance and, you know, restoring balance and, you know, things.
But that
go
balance,
off.
From what I hear you saying, the balance isn't a rigid thing, right? It's not like right. We just pour into certain pots and then it's in homeostasis. It's like constantly in fluctuation.
Yes. And a part of it is our lifestyle. What happens to their life? You know, something happens, wakes us up in the middle of the night, throws off our sleep pattern. That's going to throw off our melatonin. And that's going to potentially throw off other things. We eat maybe not so healthy choices and that impacts us. And our cortisol from stress, a lot of different things can be impacted by the lifestyle choices we make. And a lot of that's just out of our control. But what I really love helping women in particular with is having resilience so that we can have that body that bounces back so we can go through some certain, you know, issue, you know, things that come up, we can go through them with ease. And especially with major transitions like puberty, pregnancy, postpartum, perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, you know, these like transitions that we go through, you see so many women with going through a lot of symptoms, and this includes mood. And we all know as women, you know, cycling, we go through, you know, PMS, and it's just such a common thing, but it's actually not necessarily normal for us to have PMS, like, or to have moodiness around our periods or our cycles or certain phases and perimenopause or menopause. We can balance our mood, but a lot of that goes back to our hormones.
And we've normalized, you know, the PMS extreme symptoms as just something we kind of have to tolerate in culture, right? It's like, oh, you know, everybody has this. So we're all just going to kind of like talk about the water we're all swimming in when it could be a bit better with some attention and focus, if I hear you right.
Yes, absolutely. And so, I mean, I think a lot of times people forget about their hormones when it comes to mood. They think, you know, like I said, they think about it with related to their cycles or different things, or they're trying to get pregnant. But it is really important to think about the fact that if, like, for example, if our cortisol, if our adrenal hormones are kicking in overdrive, and so we've got excess cortisol, or maybe our body's not producing enough cortisol, that can definitely impact our mood. And it impacts our resilience to stress. And so if our body, if when we go through stress, it's, you know, either our cortisol is not coming up the way it's supposed to, or it's too high, that can impact our mood and make us feel like more agitated or just not being able to get through a stressful event. And we might just feel more agitated. Also, another big hormone is progesterone. And so as women start to go, into perimenopause. And I know, I think it's funny. A lot of people, a lot of women think, oh, I don't have to worry about menopause until I'm 50 and, or, you know, in my 50s or, you know, but perimenopausal symptoms
sneaks up on you.
Yeah, it sneaks up on a lot of women in their 30s and 40s, and they don't really realize that that's what's going on. So as early as your 30s, you can start to have a drop in progesterone in relationship to estrogen, and that can create a lot of mood symptoms. And so that has a lot to do with those changes that you might notice around your cycles of like feeling really, really moody before your period, or, you know, just like as you go on, you might just really notice, I'm just more agitated, I'm more irritable, I you know, when something happens, I just snap. And so it can be that progesterone starting to get low. And then also, especially if you're noticing difficulty sleeping at night, lower progesterone, when it starts to lower, that can make it difficult to sleep, that, you know, impacts our mood and how resilient we are and how we are able to handle stress throughout the day. And so progesterone is another big one.
So for anybody listening at home, because I'm following probably 75-80% of all the hormones that you're naming, right? And it's such a sophisticated system that, as you said, we're not in direct control of. These are just like responses that happen throughout our day based on what our day is structured like and what kind of experiences we have, which makes, from what I understand, testing for hormone levels really challenging because they're fluctuating all day, every day. So how do people find support and lower and measure and be responsive to kind of their cortisol levels, their progesterone levels, things like that?
Yeah. So let's talk some more about cortisol, because that is one of the big ones that we want to be in a balance, because really hormones are about balance. It's like none of them are bad.
Right.
They're all good and they serve us well. So our adrenal hormones, adrenaline and cortisol in particular, those are ones that help us with handling stress. So they're actually really good, because when we are trying to get out of like a car coming at us on the road or something, it helps. They help us get out of the way. They help us get out of danger. There are stress hormones, some of our fight or flight hormones that help us get out of danger. So they're really important. Cortisol also is again released from the adrenals, and it goes up in the morning. So in the morning, now that's what it's supposed to do in a balance.
Right, life, right.
It goes up in the morning. So when we get out of bed, we're like, yeah, ready to go, and let's get this day going. I don't need coffee because I'm good to go, right? And then, but as the day goes on, is that towards evening, it should drop down. And the problem is that not everybody has that. So not everybody has that morning high cortisol and then that lower cortisol in the evening. So if it's high at night, then you have difficulty falling asleep. And then again, sleep is so, so important for our mood and for our hormones. And so if we're just that, especially that agitated feeling in the evening or this anxiousness feeling, and you're wound up and can't really figure out why you can't just settle into sleep. You're like looking over at your spouse going, wait, why are they asleep? And I'm still laying here with all the racing thoughts. There's a good chance it's cortisol, but like you said, we can get testing to find this out. So for adrenals, you can do blood tests, but the problem with blood tests and adrenals is because they change so much throughout the day and also throughout our lives. So, and at different phases of our lives and through different stressors and things, that it only gives you, blood work only gives you that snapshot, that one little point in time. And so if you are going to do blood work, you want to do it in the morning, because especially if you're having trouble getting up and getting out of bed in the morning, and you're just really relying upon coffee or, you know, something to get you going. So that would be a possibility, but really the best way I think is doing saliva testing or urine testing, because you can do the collection multiple times throughout the day. And so then that will tell you, is your morning higher? Is your evening lower where it's supposed to be, and what's happening in between? And so then that will help with treatment, because they're like, what good is all this information if there's not something to do about it, right? So there are things that you can do. First of all, stress management. Stress management is huge. It's so, so important. I think a lot of times we're so quick to be like, okay, what's the herb I need to take? Or what's the, you know, because we're so used to the conventional medical approach, which is take this medication for this symptom. So then we take herbs and nutrients and we do the same thing. But it's really, really important to build a solid foundation for our hormones and our health. And so stress management is a big part of that. And we could talk about stress management practices if you want, but that's a big part of it. But then there are also nutrients that we need, like B vitamins help us with our adrenals. It helps us with stress. And then are also certain herbs that can be helpful, like adaptogenic herbs, rhodiola, ashwagandha, ginseng. These are some of the good ones that can help us with our adrenals, supporting them. And then there are some herbs that help kind of manage cortisol, to kind of bring it down to a normal level, and then some that kind of boost it up. But adaptogenic herbs, what's so cool about those is they're called adaptogenic because they help our bodies adapt. So whether it's high or low, it can kind of help our body just reset and get it back into a balanced place. But again, if you're not doing stress management and you're not addressing root causes going on with your health, then these aren't necessarily going to help that much.
Right. It sounds like you're, doing road patches on a bridge that's about to collapse, right? You're you're not looking at the underlying issues. So I love that you're like, and a lot of people need that kind of data to take a hard, critical look at their lives, right? They do the urine testing or the saliva testing, and they're like, wow, my cortisol levels are up all day. No wonder I can't sleep. I've really got to look at my work-life balance or family management or, you know, the things that contribute to all the ways in which we can be stressed and have stress. So from that critical perspective of first an analyzation of what stress is and then what you can do about it. And then those kind of supportive elements, whether it be adaptogens or supplements to kind of get you on the road to a better balance, if you will.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then, as I mentioned before, progesterone too is another big hormone to look at. And you can have your progesterone levels tested. Again, I prefer to do urine testing for a lot of the hormones, but you can do blood work with a progesterone. It's also not going to be as helpful first, depending on where women are in their lives. I mean, a lot of times we can go based on symptoms with progesterone. And there's also something called estrogen dominance, which can happen for a lot of women. And it's a genetic predisposition that causes that. But that means that estrogen is more dominant over progesterone. So then they'll feel those low progesterone symptoms more than other people, especially as they start to go through perimenopause. So it's really good to do things to help with estrogen metabolism. And so there are things like DIM is a supplement that can help with estrogen metabolism. And DIM comes from cruciferous vegetables. So broccoli, cauliflower, kale, that Brussels sprouts, that whole family of vegetables help with estrogen metabolism. So that someone in estrogen dominant kind of place, then that could help because you want to help make sure you're metabolizing your estrogen. That means breaking it down. And so that, you know, that we can have more of that balance.
And I love how you kind of contextualize everything in a supportive way, not a shameful way, right? Because like my husband's family, for instance, they are all like Adonises. Like the whole family is just the picture of health. They've all got muscle structure. And like, they're just, you look at them and you're like, those are what human beings are supposed to look. They all have genetic high cholesterol. It's like the family joke, right? They eat nothing but vegetables. They're like the pictures of health, and they have horrible high cholesterol. And so sometimes like you're just going to be genetically predisposed towards something that you're going to need support with. And it's not something that you did or didn't do, or a criticism of your lifestyle, unless we're talking about, you know, stress management, things that you can control. But there's a lot of things that are out of your control that you just need to have support for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the patients I've seen have been actually living a pretty healthy life. But then they're like, you know, what's going on here? Why am I still having these symptoms? Or why do I have it? So that's why testing is really important. And you're like testing for cholesterol. But you know, one of the things that's interesting about cholesterol is we need cholesterol to make hormones. So cholesterol is also not a bad thing. So
exactly,
they probably
right?
have good hormones. That's probably one of the reasons why they
that's the other side of it, right?
Do. Because yeah. we need yeah. our hormones.
Exactly. And my sister-in-law is a nutritionist. So she's constantly like, cholesterol's not bad. We just need to be mindful of what we're eating yeah. and how we're living. Right. And so kind of, I know that you alluded to it before, so I want to kind of come back to that, but you were talking about, you know, because there's a difference between stress and anxiety and kind of when stress and the symptoms of stress and the results of stress kind of get exacerbated to the point of anxiety. And all of the things that you've been mentioning, whether it's your cortisol or the fact that you're not sleeping, because it kind of snowballs into something that feels out of our control. So kind of what's the difference between stress and anxiety? And also what are those tactics you kind of alluded to earlier for stress management?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, stress management's good for all of us, whether we have anxiety or we're just, you know, just stressed. But the thing is that we're all stressed, right? Stress is a normal part of life. And again, that's partly why we have our adrenals and adrenaline and cortisol to help us with managing stress. To, you know, we were used to have to run from the tiger that was chasing us or lion or whatever. And then now it's more like the crazy dog in the neighborhood or the car that's not, you know, they're texting and driving and not paying yep. attention. You know, we still need to get out of danger. So stress is not a bad thing. We need stress and to a certain extent. But the problem is that we have this ongoing stress that we're working crazy hours. We are not sleeping the way we probably should because we're not going to sleep when it gets dark. We're staying up with artificial lights. We're watching TV late at night. We're on our phones. And then we get up, you know, too early probably and not getting up with the sunrise and, or maybe sleeping in too late and not, you know, doing that. And we're not getting outdoors enough and connecting with nature and the cycles of our seasons and the sun and, you know, sunlight and all of that, that we need for our healthy circadian rhythm. So we become less resilient. So over time, that can set us up for when stress, you know, starts to go too far. And, you know, with anxiety, it was something like a generalized anxiety disorder. I oftentimes see that there's a genetic, again, going back to genetics, a genetic component with that. There is a neurochemical imbalance typically. And so there are real symptoms. And it, when you know, when you have anxiety, it really starts to impact your life in a way that it makes it hard to really function. And relationships, you definitely aren't as resilient to when things happen, when things come at you, just don't have that same level of resilience. And so it just sort of in this heightened state. And of course, hormonal imbalances work worse than that. And neurochemical imbalances are a big trigger for that. And remember, neurochemicals and hormones are they're intricately connected. So a lot of times we talk about serotonin, for example, and as a mood hormone, and neurotransmitter, but it's also functions the body as a hormone. So with, you know, the big difference with neurochemicals is that they work on our brain and our nervous system. And it's a little bit different than hormones, but really they work together. And so we definitely want to be mindful of that when we're looking at the difference between being stressed and actually having anxiety.
And one of the things, correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember that serotonin is the signal for serotonin release is actually comes from the gut, right? Yes. Right. So we think of it as a brain chemical, as a mental health chemical and hormone, but it's signaled from the gut. Your gut is actually what's telling your brain, like release more, release less, absorb more, I guess I should say absorb less. And so that we have such a disconnect between our brain, our thought, and then our bodies, but it's so deeply connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. The primary source of serotonin comes from the gut. And that's one of the reasons why gut health is so important for addressing anxiety and mood and hormonal imbalances. And I talk a lot about skin as the spa doctor. I'm going to talk a lot about skin, and that a lot of that comes from the gut too. So when we address the gut health, we're helping our mood, we're helping our hormones, we're helping our skin, we're helping our brain, we're helping so much of our body. So if there's one place you want to focus on, it's your gut.
Right. And I think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I keep thinking of all these things that I think are facts. And then I'm like, maybe I should check, but your skin is the largest organ on your body, right?
Yes.
I don't think we've ever in the history of mankind been more obsessed with topical skin solutions and products, and like feels like everywhere I turn, somebody's slathering their face with something. But you know, your skin is definitely connected to your gut and to your mind and your mental health. All of it is, all of those hormones come into play, and you just kind of see the results on your skin, right?
Yes, absolutely. I call skin our magic mirror because it's right on the surface of our body, and it gives us so much information about our overall health. It's partly why I wrote my book, Clean Skin From Within, because in my practice at the Waldorf Astoria Spa, people were asking me a lot about skin, and I was like, well, it comes from the inside out. You got to address the root causes, and you know, what helps your skin helps your mood. And a lot of this is connected. And so it's really important. The other thing to be very mindful of skin that a lot of people don't know is that it's also absorbs what you put on it. And so this is another one of the most important things with hormonal imbalances goes to the toxins that we're exposed to in the environment. There's a group of chemicals called endocrine disrupting chemicals. These are hormone disrupting chemicals, and they're in a lot of different places in our air, water, food, personal care products are in our homes. When we get exposed to these chemicals like pesticides or heavy metals, for example, we get exposed to these, they bind to hormone receptors and really create a lot of problems with imbalances. So they can turn on these hormone receptors, making our body think that it has hormones when it doesn't. And so it starts behaving a certain way. Like we'll behave like we have high levels of estrogen, for example, when our body actually is, it's an endocrine disrupting chemical, or behave as if we have high thyroid, or actually create more imbalances with these, because everything in the body is a feedback mechanism. So when the body thinks something is, hormones high, then there's a whole cascade, or when it's low, there's a whole cascade, because the body is constantly trying to recover and rebalance. And so it's really important to do what we can to reduce our exposure to these group of chemicals. And, these have been linked to mood problems as well. And, a number of mood problems, as well as infertility, problems with early puberty, pregnancy issues, fertility issues, thyroid problems, breast cancer, prostate cancer, a lot of different hormone related conditions. And so the first thing is to try and do your best to reduce your exposure to those. And then we also want to look at how can we improve our body's detoxification pathways. And, like I mentioned, estrogen metabolism, like how can we improve those kinds of things with our liver, our detoxification pathways to help get rid of these toxins out of the body.
Right. Because your liver's job is detoxification, right? But if you're not supporting your liver, it's not able to do its job in the correct way. And in the realm of what you were saying, kind of absorption, I'm thinking back to what you said about, kind of genetic predisposition. If you've got a penchant toward generalized anxiety disorder because of genetics, things like that, you're going to have, as Kathy Malchiotti would say, Dr. Kathy Malchiotti, she would say your circle of capacity is a little bit lower. So your resiliency, as you were talking about, you're predisposed to already have a lower resiliency. And all of this absorption, endocrine disruptors, things like that, they're adding to the stress on your system, right? It's not that you are perceptively aware, all of the products in my household are causing my body stress. You don't really know. It's just a cumulative effect. It's not like one thing is causing a stress. I mean, that can of course happen, but it's the accumulation of all of these things, products and things in our environment that we don't consider that add up to be kind of a stress on our system.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it can be a sudden event. It could be you get some mass exposure to something through your work or through a hobby. If you jewelry making or something, if there was a big spill or oops, you work at a lab or something and something happens. Of course, there could be gasoline spill or something like that. You could get a big exposure. And sometimes people can make the connection and go, ever since that one thing, it set me over the edge. And sometimes it's a combination of environmental toxins and other triggers, like a virus or getting sick. A lot of times it's a virus. And then the combination of those is what changes those genes and turns them on or goes the wrong way where we start to develop symptoms. And then with other people, it is like you're saying, like that sort of just, we get that ongoing exposure. And so much of our exposure, we just don't really think about, like the skincare products that we're using. A lot of times we don't think about what we're putting, the lotions or perfumes, deodorants, hair care products, all kinds of things that we're putting on our body, because we don't really think of our skin as being permeable. A lot of times we just don't think about it because it's just such a normal part of our life to use lotions and soaps and different things and not really look at the ingredients. But we also know that we use hormone creams as a route of administering medication, or nicotine patches. We put them on the skin because we know that the body absorbs those. And so these endocrine disrupting chemicals are showing up in human samples, things like parabens and personal care products, or diethyl phthalate and other types of phthalates that you might find in synthetic fragrances that are in personal care products, as well as cleaning products and various things, air fresheners. And then there are also these forever chemicals, these PFAS, that are really, it's really unfortunate. And there, so many nonstick things, like nonstick cookware, but also packaging, like to-go packaging that has the nonstick, even like waterproof mascara, long-lasting lipstick. And unfortunately, they're called forever chemicals because they don't go away. They bioaccumulate, meaning they accumulate in our tissues, and they also don't go away out of the environment. So the problem is we're exposed to more of these endocrine disrupting chemicals than we ever have been. And so again, it's not the whole doom and gloom of it, is that just being aware of it, doing your best. So doing things like trying to drink filtered water, and using glass, stainless steel, using those kinds of containers rather than plastics or styrofoam or coated, papers and things. And then also looking at, what you're bringing into your home, what kind of clothing, what kind of furniture, what kind of carpeting, when you do a remodel, what are you putting? I'm doing a remodel in my house right now. And
so it's front of mind.
What are we using in there? Because those could be big exposures. Choosing organic food as much as possible, so we reduce our exposure to pesticides. Using, skincare products, personal care products. That's why I created the Spa Doctor skincare line, was because I wanted natural, non-toxic skincare products for my patients, and that are also, enjoyable and they work well. Right. And so, we want these things we want to educate ourselves on some basics to reduce our exposure, and just mindful of thinking like, okay, I should take my shoes off, or have people take their shoes off when they get to the home, because you've been at the gas station, you've been walking through gasoline, you've been in the park where they spray pesticides, and you don't have control over these places, but you do have control over your home. So have people remove their shoes at the door, so you're not tracking all that into your home. And, the water that you drink, the air, having air purifiers in your home, things like that. And then the foods that you eat, the personal care products, those are the places where you have control of reducing your exposure. And it does make a difference. And don't be afraid to ask. I think we're so used to just trusting, we've been using these products forever. We've been eating these foods forever, and I'm okay. Well, the thing is that over time, people aren't okay. And so, and I've seen it, I know you've seen it too, I'm sure, that people get to a point where they're not okay. And then they go, gosh, I wish I had started making these changes sooner. So the sooner you start making these changes, hopefully before you have major health issues, right, but certainly if you have anxiety or any other health issue, this is something you definitely want to pay attention to. And this is not something their psychiatrist or your family practice doctor is going to talk to you about.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've gone that route. And it's okay for people if it needs to take a little bit of time, right? Like these transitions, I remember when I transitioned all of our storage containers to glass, and like, it just took time. It was an investment. I had to transition into glass. You know, most people, it's not accessible for them to just go back, you know, go through their house with a big trash bin and toss everything out and start from scratch. But as you're doing things, like you said, remodeling projects, like being mindful of your choices, things like VOCs and paint and the products that you're using to clean and, you know, all of those things, they add up.
Yeah, absolutely. They do. And then also, again, another big part of this is detoxification pathways too, making sure that your gut health is at a really good place, that you're, because, you know, we have these toxins we're exposed to. We want to make sure that they're getting out of our bodies, the ones that our body is able to remove pretty, you know, easily, that those are able to get out through our urine and through stool and through perspiration. So we want to be really careful that we're, you know, that we're having regular bowel movements, that we're drinking plenty of filtered water, that we're taking good care of our livers and our kidneys, because we want them to last.
Yeah. And your adrenals are above your kidneys, right? Like it's all so close to each other. Like we want our filtering system and our stress response system very close together. Like, yeah, let's keep all that healthy.
Absolutely.
All right. So Dr. Trevor Cates, fantastic. This has been great. So I imagine people are going to want to give you a call and figure out how to get started on this journey with you. How can people find out more about you and your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So people can go to thespadoctor.com, thespadr.com. And I also have a Hormones, Health, and Harmony docuseries. And we have that launching at different times. So you can take a look for that at hormoneseries.com. And so that's, you know, and we're also, I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, YouTube, all the social media places at The Spa Doctor. And just remember that doctor is abbreviated DR. And my book, Natural Beauty Reset, is coming out in September. It's available for pre-orders right now. And I also have a book, Clean Skin From Within. Like I said, a lot of the things that we do for our skin and our hormones are going to help us with our mood and our brain.
Fantastic. Dr. Trevor Cates, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.